All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going way back to 1878 to be exact,
Oh, yeah.
to a Supreme Court case that, if you're in law school, especially if you're taking, con law or anything about regulatory power, this one's really going to ring a bell.
Oh, for sure.
It's Fertilizing Company v. Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And it really lays some groundwork for thinking about, how businesses and the well-being of a community,
Yeah.
how those two things come together, and sometimes they clash.
Absolutely. Yeah, this case is a classic example of a what happens when you have a business operating with, like a state-granted charter, right?
Right.
And then you have a local community that's trying to, flex its muscles in terms of protecting its citizens.
Yeah.
So it's the Northwestern Fertilizing Company versus the Village of Hyde Park. And it starts small, but the implications, go all the way up.
Yeah. So paint us a picture. It's 1867.
Okay.
Illinois gives a charter to the Northwestern Fertilizing Company.
Okay.
And the charter says, okay, you can build and operate a fertilizer plant down in Cook County, south of a specific township line.
Got it.
They also get permission to set up depots in Chicago to get their materials and, move them around.
Makes sense.
And when we say materials, think dead animals,
Oh, yeah.
not the kind of thing you want hanging around in your neighborhood. Now, at the time, this location was pretty swampy, not a lot of people.
Yeah, it was out in the middle of nowhere, basically, undeveloped.
Right. But then let's fast forward just a couple of years. 1869.
Okay.
Things are starting to change.
All right.
Hyde Park, the Village of Hyde Park, incorporates.
Okay.
And that is a really big deal because their new charter gives them a lot of power,
Right.
what we call police powers.
Yes.
Their right and responsibility to make laws and regulations to keep people safe, healthy, and, generally doing okay.
The general welfare. Yeah.
Right. And a big part of that is being able to say, what's a nuisance and how do we get rid of it?
Right.
And that is where our story really gets going, because Hyde Park, now that it's got this power, passes an ordinance, a local law that says no transporting offal, that's the waste from processing animals and other things that
All
are
right.
offensive or unwholesome through the village.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Now, if you're the Northwestern Fertilizing Company, this is a huge problem.
Right.
Why? Because the only railway line that can get your stinky raw materials to your plant goes right through Hyde Park.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's like their supply line got cut off,
It
basically.
did.
Yeah.
And of course, the company's not happy.
Of course not.
They're saying, hey, Hyde Park, you're stepping all over our rights that the state gave us in our charter.
Right. Classic conflict.
It is. And so it kicks off a legal battle that starts in the Illinois Circuit Court.
Makes
So
sense.
how did that go for them?
Not well.
Not well.
Yeah. The Illinois Circuit Court sided with Hyde Park. And the company appealed to the Illinois Supreme Court, hoping for, a better outcome, but again, they lost. So facing two strikes in their own state, they decided to swing for the fences and appeal all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Wow, to the big leagues.
Exactly.
So when the Supreme Court takes this on, what are the big legal questions they're wrestling with?
Well, there are two main ones that really get to the heart of the case. The first one is, does Hyde Park's ordinance, does that violate the contract clause of the U.S. Constitution? The company argues that its state charter is a binding contract and the new ordinance from Hyde Park that's impairing their obligations under that contract. And the second big question, which is even more fundamental, is does a state legislature, can it even contract away its police powers through a charter like this one?
So can a state basically give away its power to protect its people?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a huge question.
So what did the court say?
Well, Justice Swain wrote the majority opinion, and
Wow.
the court acknowledged that the charter was a contract, but they adopted a pretty strict interpretation when it came to corporate charters. Basically, they said these charters should be read against the corporation.
So like if there's any doubt.
Yeah, if there's any doubt about what rights were granted, the benefit of the doubt goes to the state, not the company.
No benefit of the doubt for the fertilizer company.
Not in this case, no. And one of their key points was that the charter, while it allowed the company to operate, it didn't explicitly say they were exempt from future exercises of the state's police power. And the court emphasized that this police power, this authority to protect public health and safety, that's so important that a state can't just give it away in a contract unless they say so very, very clearly.
So you can't just slip it in there.
Exactly.
Has to be very clear.
Very clear.
Like, hey, we're giving away our power to protect, public health.
Right. Imagine if a state could just contract away its ability to regulate pollution or something like that. That
Right.
would be chaos.
Yeah, it'd be bad news.
Yeah. And Justice Swain actually had a great line in the opinion. He said, "Every reasonable doubt is to be resolved adversely to the corporation." So basically, they're not playing around.
They're saying if it's not crystal clear, we're siding with the state.
Exactly. But they did offer the company a little bit of a silver lining.
Okay, what's that?
They pointed out that the original charter said the company could operate anywhere in Cook County south of that specific township line. So Hyde Park could restrict them within the village, but the company could maybe relocate their plant to a different spot in the county where the ordinance wouldn't apply.
So not a total loss for the company.
Right. They still had options. They just had to be a little more creative.
Now I know that Justice Strong dissented.
He did.
What was his take on the case?
Well, Justice Strong had a completely different view. His main point was that the charter, by giving the company the right to operate the plant, also implied they had the right to transport the materials they needed to make it work.
Makes sense.
Right. I mean, if they can't get the stuff to the plant, the whole charter is pointless. He believed that Hyde Park's ordinance was basically attacking the very heart of the contract and therefore violated the contract clause. He even had this really powerful quote in his dissent where he said, "If the good of the community requires destroying the company's rights, let the community pay."
Wow.
So he's saying, if the public good demands that we infringe on a company's rights, then the community should compensate them for that. It's a different way of thinking about the balance between public and private interests.
Yeah, it almost sounds like he's suggesting eminent domain, but for contracts.
Right. Like, if we're going to take away your contractual rights for the public good, we should pay you for it.
Interesting. So it's not just a question of is it okay, but also who bears the cost.
Exactly. Now, we also had Justice Miller, who wrote a concurring opinion. He agreed with the majority's decision that the ordinance was valid, but he had slightly different reasoning. For Justice Miller, the key point was that Hyde Park wasn't saying that the company couldn't operate a fertilizer plant in Cook County at all. They were just saying that they couldn't operate in a certain way and in a certain location.
So it's not about you can't do this, but rather you can't do it here or like this.
Exactly. He was drawing a distinction between the right itself and how that right is exercised. He was basically saying, look, the charter doesn't give the company a blank check to operate however they want, wherever they want.
Right.
There can be reasonable regulations, especially when it comes to public health and safety.
Okay, so it seems like all the justices were trying to find the right balance between the company's rights and the community's well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they were weighing different factors.
What were some of the key elements they considered?
Well, one big one was whether the charter explicitly said that the company was exempt from future police power regulations. And in this case, it didn't. So that was a point against the company. They also looked at how much the ordinance actually interfered with the company's ability to operate. And while it was definitely a problem, they pointed out that the company could still potentially relocate within the county. And of course, they considered whether the regulation was a legitimate use of police power, and in this case, protecting public health by regulating those materials. That was a pretty clear and compelling reason.
So basically, they were looking for clear language in the charter. They were considering the practical impact on the company, and they were making sure the regulation was a legitimate use of police power.
Exactly. And those are still the key factors that courts consider today when they face similar cases.
And it's amazing how a case from 1878 can still be so relevant today. Can you give us some examples of how these principles are applied in modern law?
Oh, absolutely. Think about zoning laws, the rules that say where certain businesses can be located. Those are all based on concerns about things like noise pollution, traffic, and the environment. And then there are all sorts of environmental regulations that restrict industrial activities to protect air and water quality. Those are all examples of the government exercising its police power in a way that can have a big impact on businesses. And we also see it in cases about corporate accountability. When companies are held responsible for environmental damage or if their products cause harm to the public, all of those issues go back to that fundamental tension that we saw in Fertilizing Company v. Hyde Park. Like, even something seemingly simple, like a local ordinance that restricts the hours of operation for a noisy bar in a residential area, that could end up in court with arguments about the scope of police power and whether it's fair to restrict a business that was already allowed to operate there.
Yeah, so it's not just about factories and fertilizer anymore.
Nope, the principles are still very much alive and well.
So for all our listeners out there who are in law school, what are the big takeaways from our deep dive into Fertilizing Company v. Hyde Park? What should they really remember?
Okay, here's the cheat sheet. Number one, corporate charters are interpreted strictly.
Okay.
If the language isn't clear and explicit, courts are likely to side with the state.
So no reading between the lines.
Exactly. Number two, the police power is a core power of the state, and it can't be easily given away.
Got it.
Courts assume that states retain that power unless it's explicitly waived in a contract. And finally, remember that regulations can affect how a chartered right is exercised without actually taking away the right itself. So you can still have the right to operate, but the government can put limits on how and where you operate to protect the public good.
So the bottom line is that a corporate charter doesn't automatically make you immune from the state's power to protect its citizens, unless that charter specifically says so in very clear language.
That's it in a nutshell. And that's why fertilizing company v. Hyde Park is such an important case. It established this balance between economic activity and the state's duty to safeguard its communities. We're still wrestling with that balance today, especially in situations like public health emergencies, where the government might have to step in and restrict businesses for the sake of the greater good.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that recently. So on that note, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. Considering all this, how do you think courts are going to approach future cases where you have established industries maybe operating with old approvals, and then they face new regulations that are trying to address new challenges, like the stuff we're seeing with rapidly changing technologies and their impact on public health and the environment? It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. It's a question that's going to keep coming up, and I don't think there are any easy answers.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into fertilizing company v. Hyde Park. And as always, keep those legal minds sharp. We'll catch you next time.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.